Keep that passage open, please. We'll have a look at it together. The gadgets are working. So this passage, a nice little short passage to get us on the way today. There's a couple of senses in this passage, the way the writer to the Hebrews is structuring this. We've got a couple of like building blocks before we get to what he thinks we should be doing or being as a result of this. So if you have a look down, verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And then again, verse 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. To get the full flavor of these building blocks, we need to have something of the Old Testament history. And you'll know, I'm sure most of us will know, kind of the picture of the temple or the tabernacle. But let me just color it in for us again, because I like a bit of a visual. You are people of Israel, and you're coming to do business with God. And you come to a big tent, broadly rectangular, split into half, but you can't see into the tent. But within it, there's a big curtain here. And you happen to know that this is the most holy, the holy of holy places. It's the symbol of God's presence amongst God's people. The Ark of the Covenant, don't go in there. Big curtain, no one gets in there, mostly. And then up to here is the rest of the tent. And you probably don't see in here. You'll sometimes see a priest. You'll maybe glimpse as the priest opens the curtain. But mostly you don't see what's going on here. This is where the priests do business as well. Then there's a courtyard outside the tent, and this is where you'll come. You'll bring your animals, you'll bring your birds, and there'll be a huge sort of altar. There's fire going on all the time. There's lots of blood because there's lots of animals being killed and then blood sprinkled on things. There's a massive washing basin, and you'll be washed sometimes. You'll see the priests being washed and changing their clothes. This is the picture as you come to worship God, and then you live just outside, and this is kind of within our camp. Does that make sense? So a tent that you don't see, and then out here, kind of where we, the normal hoi polloi, get to do business with God. On one day of the year, and we will do this because it's one of my little favorite set pieces, but on one day of the day, yeah, the Day of Atonement, the great high priest, you'll see him get washed, you'll see him change, you'll see him offer sacrifices for himself and for the people, you'll see him disappear here and sprinkle blood and then come back out, and then he will, on one day of the year, go into here. And there'll be smoke and there'll be all sorts of other things. But the rest of the time, no entry. Very much no entry. In fact, you probably remember Aaron, the great high priest Aaron, his two boys. They went in with things to offer and they died. So from then on, when someone goes in there, they have a rope tied around them. So in case they die, you can pull them out without going in yourself. It's that much pressure around the Holy of Holies. It's worth colouring that in because I want you to hear this first sentence again. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And I tingle saying that. But just get that picture. You've got the confidence, if you trust in Jesus, to be with God. By a new and living way, not an animal that dies, not something that needs to be repeated over and over, but a new and living way, open for us through the curtain. Remember when Jesus died, the curtain was ripped and torn through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, which is where it starts getting complicated, but Jesus is the sacrifice, he's the blood that pays our way in, and he's the priest that offers himself. He has done it. And it's worth having all those pictures in place, entering the most holy place, our great high priest, because we have great confidence in that. We need to take it seriously. But it's such good news. And we could stop there. We won't, but we could stop there since we have great confidence in what Jesus has done. Let us, there's a number of lettuces. I've pulled out three particular summary ones. Let us draw near to God, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings. Given what Jesus has done, let us draw near to God. Let us be kind of devoted, sincere heart. Let us be single-minded about this. But let us have the full assurance that faith brings. And notice, having our hearts sprinkled. So you pick up that language, the blood language, to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Having our bodies washed with pure water. That is something that needs to have been done. You can't just jolly your way into the presence of God as a sinner. Something has been done. Death and washing and a new start. But it has been done. It has been done. So let us draw near to God. Next, let us hold to the hope. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So it's kind of not that it's just been done, but we continue in our faith. Hope speaks of a sure and certain faith in something to come, something you can't see, but you're certain that God does it. Not because of what we can do, not because of what we promise to say or promise to do or the extra effort we can put into our faith, but for he who promised is faithful. Not because of your faithfulness, because you have good and bad days. Not because of my faithfulness. I have good and bad days, but because he who promised is faithful. That's the assurance that we have. Draw near to God, hold to the hope because of he who promised. And then third one, let us be partners. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, but meeting together, encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Spurring one another on. Come on, come on, let's love. Come on, let's do good deeds. Encouraging each other. Come on, getting us, ourselves and each other on in the Christian life. Meeting together. You can't do this without meeting together. You hear again and again, certainly from where I've come from, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. And you kind of, that's sort of right. Jesus has died for you. But God never talks about you being saved on your own. He talks about us being saved as people. It's so hard to live out the Christian life on your own. We're drawn together as his family. Let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us meet together. All the more as you see the day approaching and the sense of something having been done for us by Jesus, the life that we live, holding on to the hope and looking forward to the day that Jesus will come again. Lord and Saviour, every knee will bow. Well, that is our biblical background to sort of an extended section of applications. Because it is Congregational Sunday. I wasn't entirely sure what one is, so I'm making it up. But what we wanted to talk about was partnership. We've had Philippians. You may even be bored of the word partnership. But some of the structures of how our church and our congregation are set up so that we can work out, is this the best way that we're going to help ourselves, draw near to God, hold to the hope, and spur one another on to love and good deeds? Does that make sense? And by the end, I'm hoping you will ask questions of yourselves, and you'll be able to ask questions of me and others involved. We can move, we can change, but we want to have these structures, we want to have good structures, godly structures that will help us to do all these things. That made sense to me. So we're not talking about style of service, we can talk about that next year. We're not talking about outreach, we can talk about that the year after. We're talking about sort of the structures of what we do, and I'm going to talk about them quite quickly to keep things moving. But with lots of pictures, it always slightly changes with the formatting, but hopefully you can see some of that. So the first thing, the first sort of partnership I want to think about is gospel, what I call gospel partnership. God's worldwide historical church. There's a little you are here, because there's St. Mary's family you might not be able to see. There's blob, 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 4 o'clock, blob. So those are our congregations within the St. Mary's Church family. We're within the Church of England, which is a denomination within the worldwide church, all the way across the world. And if you've gone on holiday and you've gone to church somewhere, I hope you have. It's a brilliant feeling. You kind of go and go, this is different, but the same. They do things different. They speak a bit funny. But we believe the same things. It's the worldwide church, isn't it? And actually, this is something I need to learn. We're not inventing it from scratch now. We're part of a historical church. There's biblical history of what God has done. We've got old saints and church history and things like that. To give you some Bible to back this up, in 2 Corinthians 8, which you can turn to if you want to, Paul gives a particular example of one church giving money and supporting another church. They're miles apart, but they are partners together. Paul's journeys, he trots around kind of connecting these different churches together in different continents. His letters that he writes, different groups. So that's sort of the worldwide church. The historical church, Hebrews 12, the verses. If you remember, Hebrews 11 has kind of all the heroes of faith, and they are in Hebrews 12, like they're all looking in on your race, because we're part of the same race, and God is doing that same work in all and through all. So cross denominations, let's have some examples. We work with other churches in town sometimes. Vicars within the Anglican Church, we meet together. It's called Chapter. To go to a chapter meeting, you either have to be a vicar or a Hell's Angel, which always entertains me. But we have chapter meetings. We do cross-church things like street angels. We get together. We're stronger together in various ways in our mission to the town. Historical, we've not invented it ourselves, already said that. So how do we... we pray for missionaries, the worldwide church. Our church is connected to particular missionaries, and maybe you're connected. Helen and I, we've got friends particularly on the mission field, and we hear from them and support them. It's a great way of remembering and being reminded of what God's doing throughout the world. So some questions. How do we show, how do we benefit from, or how do we take part in being part of a historical church? I try and read some old books in between lots of the new ones. They're harder work. They're written into a different context. But it's a great reminder to me. I'm particularly wired to think, yeah, I'm going to reinvent things every week. They're a great reminder. Nothing changes. There's always been sin, the world, and the devil. There's always been temptations. The church has always struggled with this, that, and the other. And God, in his faithfulness, works through it. It's a great way of being reminded, and we connect into a historical church. How do we show, benefit from, take part in being part of a worldwide church? Already mentioned missionaries. We have a denomination, which you may be positive or negative about. We have a bishop. We have schools, these Church of England schools, such phenomenal opportunities. Our denomination helps us with some of the legalities of kind of life as a church, child protection. We have a parish. These people who live near here, I have the right to go up to their door and say, I'm your vicar. Hello, can I tell you about Jesus? They have the right to go, nope. But in this country at the moment, the Church of England, every single household, every single family has a church which theoretically is aimed at it in mission. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that a brilliant way? If you were inventing a church, you might not do it quite like that, but you'd have some idea of covering everyone. Parish system. We sometimes use, in different services, we use words that have been used throughout the centuries. So something even like the Lord's Prayer, we come back to it. Jesus taught it. It's a particular formulation of the words that Jesus taught. And you can think, people have been praying this prayer hundreds, thousands of years. Good to take part. Gospel partnership. Family partnership. Our church family, St. Mary's, the words are starting to get a little bit small. They're mostly names of people who are involved. The way I think about this maybe is kind of the way Paul introduces some of his letters. So think about 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2 or Philippians 1 verse 1, writing to all the saints in Corinth, all the saints to in Philippi. And they probably met in different homes, but they had a joint mission to that area, to that people, to the sort of area around, the people around. And so we are one church family at St. Mary's. Amongst all the congregations, we are one church family. We have one particular identity, priority of preaching God's word, a priority of mission to Maidenhead and to the people around. We have shared structures and finances and even buildings, which sometimes seem slightly boring part of things. But isn't it brilliant? We've got such great facilities. It'd be hard to maintain them just as us, but as a family, we can support each other and share together in these things. I use the staff team as an example of how the church family is united. So you've got Will Stileman, Lord Chief Vicar. He does lots of vicaring. He also does pastoral work and runs Christianity Explored. Kate Wheatley, she's our expert in children's work, and so she'll hopefully help and facilitate our children's work. Youth work, similarly, Simon helps and facilitates our youth work. Sam Brewster does vicaring and has a particular focus on kind of the local mission and discipleship. His Discipleship Explored course. Sam Albury does some more vicaring. He has a particular focus on kind of international mission and our growth groups. Sue Bauhan, pastoral coordinator, she helps to see that things are covered across the services and and can offer help and advice. Jane offers lots of admin all across the services. Tim looks after our buildings all across the services. Operations, we're looking for operations manager, and there'll be a notice about that later. Vicaring, I do a bit of vicaring. I get a star because I'm your vicar. You can't do anything about that anymore. But I also particularly look after men's work as well as this congregation. I'm saying all this, lots of you will know lots of this, but I guess if we're new, you might not have come across all these names or see how we work. So we all meet every week, and we think about the church family as a whole, and we try and move things forward. We have a PCC, which is kind of the legal structure, and they, Parish Church Council, they meet once a month. We sort of have a 4 o'clock representatives. I hope I haven't missed anyone else, but Steve Dauncey, you're all here, which is brilliant. Ruth Knight and Sarah Watson and myself. Is anyone else? I don't think I missed anyone. We have two church wardens. We happen to have one of them here, Greg. We don't have to have a 4 o'clock one, but it's brilliant to have an input into kind of standing committee. Lots of finance and buildings and overview of where St. Mary's family is going. And the congregations. Sorry if I'm telling you things that you already know, but the 8 o'clock is a quiet service. There's no singing, and it always has communion. You're very welcome to come and make use of that. 9, 15, and 11 are similar to us with kids' work. We are the 4 o'clock. The half 6 has no kids' work, but a particular focus on older teens and 20s and 30s. That's not to say that we don't have that focus ourselves, but slightly different flavours, but within one St. Mary's Church family. St. Mary's, it's one church family organised pastorally around congregations. Will wants me to say this over and over again, so there you go. St. Mary's, one church family organised pastorally around congregations. So remember, you are here, but you're part of the wider congregations. We do all sorts of other things, kind of the home and away, the central prayer meetings, our shared mission. We have lots of things in common and we share together. So questions to ask yourself, how do we bless the other congregations in our family? And I know that some of you serve in other congregations. How are we blessed? And I know that there are people from other congregations that serve here. But maybe it's something that is a new thought to you or something that you could think about. Where have I got to? Yes, and there's children's work, obviously, the midweek children's work, youth work, holiday club, all that sort of thing. Vital partnership, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, the second half, 12 to 26, has those bits you'll remember. If I'm a hand and I say I cannot be a part of the body because I'm not a foot, or if I'm a foot and I say I can't be part of the body if I'm a hand, or if I'm an ear and I say because I'm an eye, I'm not part of the body if I'm an eye, because you know the bits, but I've circled them just in case you don't know what a hand or a foot or an eye or an ear is. It's ridiculous. But it reminds us that we're all part of one body. We belong to each other. We all have different gifts, and we all need to play our part. And the whole family of St. Mary's is a body, but also, and I think more particularly, the 4 o'clock congregation reflects the body of Christ. We belong to each other relationally, pastorally, the body of Christ. It's why, for instance, our children's tea is a real core value of what we do. We need to move out of these premises at some point, and we looked at whether we need sort of a tea or whether we can do without a tea, and we can't, I don't think, relationally, pastorally, and because of the time we are. We are the body of Christ, and we need to share together. We need to have the time to talk to each other. We belong to each other. You're welcome to use the facilities of the other congregation, but if you transfer from here to the 915 or from the 915 to here, I see it like a limb transplant. There's pain. You will be missed from where you came. There'll be blessing where you go. But it's a serious thing, and we'll think about kind of how we look after you, and we need to do that properly. That's the focus here at St. Mary's. Other churches do it differently, and you can waft from one place to the other, depending on how early you get up out of bed or how much of a headache you have in the afternoon. But here we take it seriously. You belong to this family, or you belong to that family. 1 week or 2 weeks, you're very welcome to pop up wherever you want, but I hope you get a real sense of belonging. Sundays at the 4 o'clock, we operate slightly differently to the other congregations, but they are coming in our direction. So we have something called a congregation team. That's me and my wife, Helen, Greg and his wife, Heidi, Andrew, who is the guy you always see on the way in generally, his wife Liz, and Chris and Sarah. Sarah did the reading. Greg is leading the service. Liz will come up and do the prayers later. This is me. We tried to kind of be visible. Again, lots of you will know. If you've been here at the beginning, you know more about congregation than I do. But if you're newer, and it's good to remind ourselves who we are and what we're about. I see that they have kind of two primary roles. They help with Sunday by Sunday running. So when I say, how do we do communion? They say, da 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 da. And they help with that and they make sure things run practically, the music, all the various bits. And they serve very hard in those ways. And also, they help me in pastoring those who are not part of growth groups. And we'll come back to that later. But newcomers and sort of people who kind of visit and things like that, they help me a lot. So we meet every week. When it's not prayer meeting on a Thursday evening, we read the Bible together, we pray together, and we seek God's vision for what's going on. So if you don't want to talk to me, which is absolutely fine and fair enough, talk to one of those others about how things happen. They are kind of your representatives, how we serve the wider body. Children and youth, similarly, those are your key people. So Claire Jones, key for creche. Liz for, I'm going to get the words wrong, climbers. Esther for scramblers, Sally and Chris for explorers A and B, and Simon for pathfinders. That doesn't mean that there aren't loads of people involved in all sorts of ways, but I can't contact everyone, so these are the people I will contact to see how those groups are going. Does that make sense? It's not a up and down thing, it's just something to help me in my brain. And by the way, when I arrived, I don't think any of you particularly noticed, because the congregational team, you run so, so well. And that's the strength of this setup. There was I made a few bumps later, but you didn't get any bumps immediately. So vital partnership, things to ask ourselves. How are we taking part and serving? So this Sunday might be a good time to think, oh, I'd like to get involved in this sort of thing. Maybe I'd like to stop doing this and move into this. Talk to one of us before you do it. But think about how is you... The gifts, we need to test each other's gifts and work out where we're best. God is equipping us to bless the body. How are we taking part and being served? How are you needing others? How are you enabling others to use their gifts? It's slightly more subtle, but we as British people are very good at saying, oh yes, tell me what you need and I'll help. We're less good at saying, oh, it's been a hard week, please can you help? But if you can do that, it lets someone else do their thing, which is a great and glorious thing. So those might be questions to ask ourselves. Finally, intimate partnership. With apologies to Sarah, I did look for the old style images, but there isn't a cuddly one. They're all by themselves. So we've gone with Disney. And anyway, all the best songs are the Disney ones. So this is intimate partnership. So you are here, part of the 4 o'clock. The 4 o'clock... We operate around growth groups, which I'll come to a second. But within growth groups, we're all individuals. Look around. You're not actually connected to each other. And this is important too. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Here at St. Mary's, pastorally, we emphasize things called growth groups. They're just groups to get to know each other under God. So they will involve some looking at the Bible together. They will involve life, sharing life together, and prayer. That's what growth groups are. They're really very simple. Because we believe in organizing a pastoral around congregations, the growth groups are organized mainly around congregations. So your 4 o'clock ones, there's a Monday one run by the Stylos, a Tuesday one run by the Mumfords, a Thursday one run by the Harrises. Also, obviously, I run the congregational team one on a Thursday. There's a geographical one in Marlow run by the Beswicks, which has a few of our 4 o'clockers. And then I know a number of us are attached to other ones in various ways. There are particular daytime ones, if that's your phase of life at the moment. So on Tuesday morning, there's women's growth groups, and there are within that big lot of women, there are two particular groups that serve the 4 o'clockers, led by Heidi and Katie. There's a men's group on a Thursday morning run by me. So those are kind of the growth groups, and there's any number of other sort of groups. There are other things, prayer triplets, one-to-ones, a BBB, which stands for Beef, Beer and Bible, which is a men's gathering, informal gatherings. Wherever we share life under God's, under Christ. So it's not just sharing biscuits, but it's encouraging each other in the faith. If you're a newcomer, then you generally come under, for the sake of argument, me, helped by the congregational team. So if you're in a growth group, I check in with the growth group leaders, and I check in with them at least twice a term, is what I aim to do. If you're not in a growth group or one of those things, then the congregational team and myself will try and look out for struggles and worries and concerns and things. There's something called, is it Discipleship Explored? Discipleship course, excellent. So DC's right. The discipleship course. And the Fieldings run a group. There are no other 4 o'clockers there yet, but we could encourage you to that. That's a way of kind of working through the Christian faith as well. So that's another group that meets. But I'm sure we can do it informally and in various ways as well. But do make sure that we have these intimate partnerships. I hope that makes sense. Do come back to me with questions, but just not now, later on in the over tea. Questions to ask ourselves. Who do we know intimately enough to be able to step in, speak up, or seek additional help? We're not a top-down denomination. We're a bottom-up denomination. That's the great one of the great things about the Church of England. This is your body. So we're all responsible to each other. Who do you know intimately enough to be able to step in, speak up, or seek additional help? And who knows us? Who knows me? Who knows you? How is your struggle with, this is an Australian version, grog, girls and gold, or power, or identity, or coveting, or gossip, or any of the other things that we all will have various weaknesses at various times? How? Who knows you? It doesn't have to be, it's best if it's not the whole church. But are there 2, 3, 4 other Christians who you trust enough to be able to say, I'm struggling with this? An example I've used before, and I'll use again now. Who knows how your marriage is going? It's not all the details all of the time. A marriage is a special, exclusive relationship. But if you have an issue, before it becomes a massive problem, do you have Christian friends you trust to be able to share with, to be vulnerable with? I give that as an example because that is often the last bastion. No one's getting in to know how I treat Helen at home. That would be awful. Who are we vulnerable with? Are we ready to, as iron sharpens iron? Some worked examples very quickly to finish. Finance. Think about gospel. We give to mission all over the world, and we have lots of links as a brothers and sisters in Christ. As a church family, we regularly give to a central pot for the benefit of all congregations, for youth and children. By the way, if anything we put on for youth and children, if it's a financial problem, the central pot will help you with it. So if we're backing up a camp or a holiday club or anything that costs, that central pot is for the use of. Body, there's none. Okay, so that's one way we express family rather than local congregation. Our finance is central. There will occasionally be a self-financed event like a weekend away or a children's tea, but primarily we work as a family with finances. And intimate, practical one-to-one help. Are we ready to spot it and give, or ready to ask for help and receive, just for a season, material help? Children, gospel, we go and use summer camps that are cross-denominational and are great ways of sharing with others. Family, we run holiday clubs as a church, midweek groups of church. Our congregation, we run Sunday school, we have all-age services, which hopefully the children feel part of. Intimate, they'll develop between friendships within their groups and with leaders, and that becomes more important as they get older. So you may notice there's massive rotas for scramblers, but once you get to the top end of explorers, the rotas are slightly more often, and pathfinders, we try and get leaders who will be there every week because it becomes more and more important, doesn't it, to meet with each other week by week and get to know each other. Men, women, gospel, there are conferences and festivals to take part with. Church family, we have men's breakfast, women's breakfast. We have home and away, prayer meetings, and our mission, our MBQ, is a church mission with a church focus. As a body, as a congregation, we'll have a weekends away to get to know each other more intimately as the body of Christ. BBB is a 4 o'clock focus thing. We'll have socials. And then intimate, growth groups, triplets, one-to-ones, however it works for you. You, how are you taking part in God's worldwide historical church? How are you taking part in St. Mary's? One church family organized pastorally around several congregations. How are you taking part in the body of the 4 o'clock congregation And how are you taking part intimately in deep fellowship? Whole bunch of structure. May it help us to draw near to God, to hold to the hope that we profess, and to spur one another on to love and good deeds in Christ. Let's pray that these things will do it. Father God, we thank you so much for the work that you have done to bring us to you and to bring us to each other. Help us always to be assessing structures. Help us not to be doing things just because they've always been done. Help us not to have things because that's how others have done it. We ask, Lord, that you would draw us to you and draw us to each other. Help us to love you and love each other. And ask, Lord, maybe this Sunday that you would poke us, inspire us, maybe to draw more closely alongside one or two others, maybe to take part in a growth group, maybe to think of a way of serving. Help us to see our place in the body, to serve and be served, to need and be needed. We thank you for the glory of belonging to each other. In your name. Amen.